Starting all over again is gonna be rough. So rough. But we gonna make it. Oh yeah. Starting all over as friends is gonna be tough.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to Surviving and Thriving in the Rough Love Road Marriage and Family podcast. This is episode number 11. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. I am married to my first and only wife, the former Marika Althea Dixon of Christiana, Jamaica, for over 33 years now, by the grace of God. And God has blessed our marriage with 7 children. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and children understand that true Christian marriage and family life in most cases will be a rough love road experience. Oh yes, you will have many wonderful times, but you will also have some trying times. That's just the reality. The Christian marriage and family is designed to break you, make you, and mold you to be what you need to be for the glory of God and what God wants you to be. And contrary to lying, hypocritical, and phony Christian leaders of today and people today who fake like that is not the case, or compromise to try to make it not the case, thus violating God's holy word, the Bible, and contrary to most Christian authors, I call them the sweet little evangelicals, the sweet little charismatic authors, the sweet little Baptist theologians who tried to twist God's word to make marriage what it is not. So that includes most Christian authors today on the family. To have a victorious Christian marriage and a family, it is not about cute techniques, cute little skills, lying and manipulation and compromise. It is about simple obedience to the Holy Bible, especially in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. This passage, rather, I call the family verses, working from a position of godly authority, with the husband, male, being the head of every marriage and family. With the male being the head of every marriage and family under God and Jesus Christ. And the wife, female, being in submission, loving, cheerful submission to her husband, whether she likes it or not. And with the children being in obedience to their parents, whether they like it or not. So marriage and family will be a rough love road experience in most cases. And yes, it will take tough love as well. The only way to have your family to turn out well in time to come is by simply being obedient to God's holy word, whether you feel like it or not. And that includes the husband and the father. What's wrong with the church today is there's no discipline in our disciples. So many of us today are not like the older saints way back when they stayed together because it was right to stay together. They did what they were supposed to do, whether they felt like doing it or not. We need that in the church again, because you're going to have to put on your big boy drawers and your big girl drawers to do this. You have to cease acting like a child, a juvenile, always wanting to have your way, and then when you can't have your way, you want to take up your little marbles and run away. Grow up. Deal with it. Your God is depending on you to do that, wants you to do that for His glory, praise, and honor. Your children are depending upon you to do that. Society is depending upon you to do that. We don't need a country and a society with a bunch of broken marriages and families and broken promises and marriage and remarriage and remarriage again, or just shacking up. We don't need that in our society. It causes a whole lot of problems, and we certainly don't need it in the church. Which, in other words, means staying together with your first spouse and not divorcing, which is your biggest sign of success in your marriage and family. You say, well, I don't like her anymore. Tough. Deal with it. I don't like him anymore. Tough. Deal with it. Grow up. You made a commitment to God. I'm not worried about your commitment to each other. That doesn't mean anything to me. But you made a commitment to God. And you ought to make a commitment to your children. By the way, I am very sorry, but this podcast is not for divorced people. Or divorced and remarried people, especially. It is designed for young couples who are determined to stick it out no matter what. And if you're not interested in that, you want divorce to be an option, you go right ahead and go ahead and cut this podcast off. It doesn't matter to me. Because you're going to live a life of death if divorce is an option. And you get a divorce and remarry, you're going to face death at every turn, and misery and pain and heartache and second guessing. What if I had done this better? What if I had acted like an adult and just stayed put? I wouldn't be at this wedding watching my husband, my former husband, with his new young wife and their beautiful children. And I wouldn't be here with a man that is my second husband, and I can't stand him either. And I'm contemplating divorcing him. And my daughter, who's getting married today, will not feel the pain in her heart that her mother and father are there with two different people. At every funeral, at every high school graduation, you're going to relive your divorce. When you see the hurt in your children's faces, You're going to relive it and relive it. You might as well, and not only grow up, not only stick it out, but choose to do it cheerfully, lovingly, and joyfully. Amen. See, that's now you're really living as a Christian. Because, see, and I'm talking to Christians right now. I'm not talking to lost people. And if you are a child of God, if you're born again, if you are saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you can do this. You can do this. What's your human love got to do with it anyway? That has nothing to do with anything. Isn't that what Tina Turner told you? What's love got to do with it? Feelings of love is what she was talking about. Now, what you need is the God kind of love. Agape love, unconditional love, where you have the power in Christ to choose to love your husband, to choose to love your wife, and say, you know what, I'm going to act like a grown-up Christian and choose to love my family and stop thinking that somebody else's family is better than my family or that the grass is greener on the other side. And I'm going to be the husband, and I'm going to be the wife, and I'm going to be the teenager and the child that I should be in my family. So this podcast is not for divorced people. This podcast is not for people who have left the door open for a divorce. Well, a divorce and remarriage is an option. It is designed for young couples who are determined to stick it out no matter what. It is for couples who may have had some problems in the past in their marriage life, but are determined to obey God and stay together no matter how they feel. And it is for people who believe that keeping their vows to God and staying together and not divorcing is a worthy goal and means success in marriage in God's sight. And for people for whom divorce is simply not an option, any compromise, any games, any lies will cause your family to be a failure as opposed to being successful and victorious. I think it was Al Green who said, let's stay together. Where's the forgiveness at? Where's the unconditional love at? Let's stay together. By any means necessary, let's stay together. And if you are opposed to that in your heart, your mind, and your spirit, well then, honey, go ahead on and do what you want to do. That's all. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just telling you, it'd be better for you if you stick it out. And as I have said many times before, there are millions of people who don't ever get to the point of reaping the benefits of marriage because they don't stick around long enough. They keep jumping ship from one adulteress and adulterer to the next. Beloved, our scripture passage for this episode is Ephesians chapter 5 verses 23 through 24, which states, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And by the way, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told my wife before, my wife, Marika White, before we got married. And that is, if we're not going to do it God's way, we're not going to do it at all. And if we get married and we don't do it God's way, according to the scriptures, then all bets are off. But one thing we're not going to do, two things we're not going to do. We're not going to do marriage the way my parents did it, and we're definitely not going to do marriage the way your parents did it, because they're divorced, and everybody in your family is divorced. And so we're not going that route. So it's up to you if you want to go on this journey with me. You don't have to. But I told my wife the truth about everything before we got married. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the same thing. If you don't want to do what you just read, if you don't want to do what is in Ephesians 5 and 6, you don't have to. Don't get married. Why put yourself through that if you know your heart is not in it? So now allow me to share with you more commentary on this passage from Dr. David Guzik. The big F. Therefore, we see in this passage three reasons for a wife's submission to a husband. It is part of her obedience to Jesus Christ as to the Lord. It is, secondly, appropriate to the order of creation. The husband is the head of the wife. And three, it is appropriate because of the model of the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. As also Christ is head of the church, as the church is subject to Christ. This is just how it ought to be. The first reason is compelling enough, but in itself, it doesn't close the issue. If all we had was as to the Lord, it might be fair enough to ask, aren't men to live as to the Lord also? Shouldn't men submit to their wives in obedience to Jesus in the same way? Then you wouldn't have a real head of the home, would you? This is the goal in some marriages. No one is really in charge. We're equal partners. I'll submit to you sometimes, and you submit to me sometimes. Folks, that won't work. That has never worked. But this is what sweet little evangelicals teach and preach and have taught for over 50 years. And the sweet charismatics have joined in a different way. And the sweet Baptists have followed suit. Sadly. And that's why we have a total mess on our hands in marriages and families and in churches and in society today. The Pharisees and the Sadducees of evangelical circles are to blame, because this is what they have taught. And it is demonic, and it has ripped marriages and families apart. And I'm adding all of that back to the text. We're equal partners, they say. I'll submit to you sometimes, and you submit to me other times. We'll just let Jesus be our head and work out each situation as it comes along, you know, with some skills and some tricks and manipulation and lies that we learn from the pastor and his wife. We'll just let Jesus be our head and work out each situation as it comes along and see who will submit to whom. And what has happened in this country, you know who is going to submit? the husband. Because the philosophy among our sweet evangelical churches and Baptist churches and charismatic churches is very simple. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And I say, damn that. I say, send that back to hell where it came from. You have nothing but trouble with that. The next big point, to say it simply, that is in a biblical marriage relationship, as Dr. Guzik continues on, is just not. It ignores the essential order of creation, and it ignores the model of the relationship between Jesus and the church. This leads us to carefully notice something in general about submission. The principle of submission is presented in many different ways in the New Testament. First, Jesus submitted to his parents, Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Second, demons submitted to the disciples, Luke 10, 17. Citizens, that is, demons submitted to the disciples in Jesus' name. Third, citizens should submit to government authority, Romans 13, 1 and 5, Titus 3, 1, 1 Peter 2, 13. Next, the universe will submit to Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 27 and Ephesians 1, 22. Next, unseen spiritual beings submit to Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 3:22. Next, Christians should submit to church leaders, 1 Corinthians 16:15 through 16 and Hebrews 13:17. Next, wives should submit to husbands, Colossians 3:18, Titus 2:5, 1 Peter 3:5, Ephesians 5:22 through 24. Next, the church should submit to Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:24. Next, servants should submit to masters, Titus 2:9 and 1 Peter 2:18. Next, Christians should submit to God, Hebrews 12:9 and James 4:7. Now, beloved, today our featured quote for this episode is from Dr. J. Adams. He said, sex in Scripture is holy, normal, right, proper, and good. There is nothing wrong with sex at all. And marriage, indeed, is the proper framework for the expression of it. Sex, according to Holy Scripture, is not unholy of itself, but only when it is misused. It ought never to be used outside of the covenant bond. It should be used freely within this structure called marriage. God has so ordained. God strongly encourages sexual relations among married people, one male, one female. Sex may be enjoyed, but only according to the biblical principle that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Indeed, the most enjoyable aspect of sexual intercourse is not the personal release experience in one's own orgasm, but rather in the pleasure of satisfying one's marriage partner. Husbands and wives are required to satisfy their partners. He may not withhold his body in order to get even with his wife. She may not use sex as a bargaining factor. And may I add, this foolishness that's going on in the sweet evangelical churches and the sweet charismatic churches and the sweet Baptist churches of the day, where, oh, he can have sex with me if he washes the dishes, if he cooks the food, if he changes the diapers, and so forth. taking out the trash is not on the list because that's his job, is what people say. I say that the wife can take out the trash as well. It's a part of the kitchen duties. Watch it, look at you. Some of you can't stand that, can you? Well, she can. And oftentimes she should. Or we would have a stinky situation in the house. Stop using sex to control and manipulate your husband. Sexual relations involve giving, back to the text, sexual relations involve giving oneself freely and fully in love to the other in order to fulfill the other's need for that. Scripture is not prudish about sex, but some Christians have become prudish, as if they knew more than God. You know, some of these Christians, and many of them are in the sweet evangelical churches, they make me so sick. I thank God for the beautiful actress, her last name is Burr, B-U-R-E, she is very excited about sex in her marriage with her husband, and sometimes her husband will grab her like a man should and take a picture. They'll take a picture with him holding her breast or covering her breast or something like that. People go crazy in our sweet little evangelical churches like they have never done anything. These lying hypocritical devils, they make me sick. These Pharisees and these Sadducees act like they've never had sex, but yet they have 8 children. It's disgusting. No, you make sex dirty because you got a dirty mind. But in God's sight, sex is a beautiful thing, and God wants you to get it, and she needs to be got. Okay, so you do whatever you want with that. In fact, one of the big problems in our so-called evangelical churches is everybody is horny. You know why? Because they hate their spouses. They don't have sex with their spouses. And guess what happens? Because this is a need, what happens is people start looking at other people in the church body, the local church, and looking at the bodies in the church body in the wrong way. That's why today, in a few weeks, we're going to have a divorce case that's going to, is already national, between a Christian man, a Christian baseball player, a man who loves the Lord out and out, and a woman, a Christian, so-called Christian woman, Christian singer. And it's nasty. And you know why? Because, see, they were not having sex with one another. And so you have people who say, well, you know, let me just get hooked up with somebody else in the church. You say, well, why the church? Why won't they go outside the church? Well, you must understand why it's so dangerous in the church. If you're not taking care of business at home and you're going to church every week, you're asking for trouble. Now, I know some of our sweet evangelical pastors can't stand this, but it's true. You are asking for a big blow up. And the reason is because the most important things in life, they're already settled. You already agree with it. So there's only one step between you and the bedroom, in the hotel room, and the burner phones. And the secret codes and the sexy texts. It's one step. Everything else is taken care of. You agree on everything else. You got the most important thing squared away. So it's easy to get involved with somebody at the church, in the bedroom, having sex with people You want them to satisfy that need as well. And not just be a brother and sister in Christ. You're a liar. Your feet ain't made. And your heart pumps peanut butter. This particular couple, the man was providing well for his family. He even took off work, losing millions of dollars to try to find out what was going wrong with his marriage. Come to find out, his wife was having sex with the pastor for a long period of time. And now she's trying to get $4 million precisely because the man took off work to try to save his marriage, not knowing she was having sex with their pastor who was counseling both of them. The devil is a lie. But see, this is what happens when you're not committed to God in the home. And you start hating one another and stop having sex with each other. What does love have to do with it? Your human love. Who gives a flip? You do what you're supposed to do. And here's the thing about sex inside the marriage. Once you start, you can get it going. See? Especially for the woman who may say, "Well, I don't like him, and don't touch me, don't bother me, I don't want to have sex, I don't feel like having sex," and all that kind of fooling. It just get started, and you'll feel like it in a few minutes. "Well, I have a headache." Take an aspirin. Do your job. See, this is all a part of growing up. Stop being a child and a juvenile. You don't get a choice in this. Nobody cares. The man needs to be taken care of. You need to be taken care of. And you don't need to be going down to the church house. You already got something, you got some feelings towards somebody. And the next step is sex. That's why we got this happening in churches all across the country. And this church is a church where the pastor had his PhD, D-Min, DVD, and MDiv, and everything. Bible-believing, Bible church. And we talk about and people who know the Bible, and she was a Christian singer before she married her husband. See, and so this is what happens. And that's why right now some of you all are getting dressed right now to go out to the church, because some of you risk your lives even to go out to the church to see a Deacon Bo Peep. Just because he said something to you, just because he opened the door for you and said you have a nice dress on, your hair looks nice today and all this, and there you go. And sad to say, and I've been telling people about Bo Peep. His name is Bo Pete, but I call him Bo Peep. And Sister Sylvia for years. I've been preaching on these characters for years. And some of y'all didn't believe that there is such a thing. Well, there's a television show right now that deals with this issue. I'm not going to tell you the name because I don't want you to go watch it. It deals with this issue of Bo Peep. Loving Bo Peep more than you love your husband. Loving Sylvia more than you love your wife. But especially Bo Peep, Pastor Bo Peep. See, here's a woman who has, by her own admission, has a loving, caring, handsome husband. They have two beautiful children, two or three beautiful children. They have a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. He makes good money. She doesn't have to work. But guess who she wants to be with now? She has it all. She and she has no interest in divorcing her husband. She loves her husband and so forth. She says and loves her family, she says, but her mind is on Bo Peep, who she used to be with before she got married. And she misses Bo Peep very badly. Because Bo Peep didn't care anything for her. Bo Peep just gave her good sex and sent her on her way. And she's crazy about him, see. But not crazy about her handsome, loving, courteous, open the door for you husband who cares for you and talks to you and so forth and so on, and who gave you 3 or 4 beautiful children. And that's how many of you are today. You want somebody who's dark and a bad boy and who's dirty and does things your husband does not do in your mind. And there you go. And obviously we got many men in the church who are going for Miss Sylvia, who knows how to take care of a man. Whereas it may take a wife a half an hour to take care of a man, it takes Sylvia about 10 minutes. And we got men going on Ashley Madison in the church running after Sylvia. Well, let's move on. All of that I added. Let's move on. In this podcast, in this episode, we are using the late Dr. John R. Rice's classic book, The Home Courtship, Marriage and Children, a Bible manual of 22 chapters on the Christian home. We continue with Chapter 1, Marriage and Home, Part 9. The big number 2, why should people marry, continued. Third, marriage is a necessity because of biological need. And by the way, that biological need and sex that we've been talking about, let me just help you. That's going to go all the way through your marriage. I just thought I'd add that. God Himself has formed in human beings a certain sex capacity for marriage and love and home and mating. God Himself has given a hunger, a biological necessity that presses men and women toward marriage. Do you see the millions and billions of people on this earth? Somebody's doing something. And by the way, this is one of the reasons why God hates the abomination of homosexuality, sodomy, so-called LGBTQ or whatever, and all the alphabet plus, because it goes against what God wants in this earth. And He wants us to be fruitful and multiply. And see, that's the reason why we naturally love to see men and women get together in movies and otherwise. But back to the text. I like the way Dr. Rice put it. A biological necessity that presses men and women toward marriage. I love it. That urge is a holy urge. It is normal, as I have told you before, sir. You need to get it, and she needs to be God. It is right. It is holy. There's nothing wrong with it. Only the world, only our sinful nature, we make it nasty and filthy. And we say, oh. and our sweet little hypocritical Pharisees and Sadducees in the evangelical church, in the charismatic church, and the Baptist church. But strangely, it's a strange thing. They kind of look down upon natural, normal sex today. But they're fighting for abnormal sex to take place in the church. They want pastors and people in the church to be ordained, even though they are in homosexual relationships. And I'm adding all of that back to the text. I have heard Christian people speak of sex desire as if it were an evil and wicked thing. I have heard people speak of the normal biological necessity that people feel and call it by an evil name, lust. Especially our Pharisees and Sadducees in our so-called Bible-believing churches. It is true that sex desire can be perverted, can be unholy and wicked, but it is not normally so, and is only so outside of the bonds of marriage. Men are, because the Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. Men are made for marriage. Women are made for marriage. God intended that men and women should look forward to mating. Love, courtship, marriage, mating, childbearing. Get it on. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Mm-hmm. Let's get all that going. These are the normal futures of normal men and women. We ought to realize that the biological necessities of sex are created in men and women, and that for good, by God, sex is holy and good. It is true that sex desire can be perverted. Why? Because of our sinful nature. It is true that sex, as flaunted by the moving picture screen, as regaled in the cheap magazines, as indulged in by lewd and immoral and godless people, can be a terrible trap for souls, a God-dishonoring evil. But let us remember that God himself made man, and God made woman, and made them with an innate desire, the one for the other, glory be to God. That is one reason for marriage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, the scripture says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." You see, that to avoid fornication, to avoid sin, is one of the reasons for marriage, the bodily desire which is natural and proper ought in usual cases to result in love and marriage at the proper time and in the proper way. Again, in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 9 says, "But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." People ought to marry as a general thing to avoid the unrest and avoid the temptation to sin, and avoid the sin that often comes when people are frustrated in their natural urge for sex. Pardon me, I had to drink a little tea, green tea. I do not mean, Dr. Rice goes on to say, that Christians cannot live happy, noble, continent lives, for they can. Everybody in the world is intended to remain continent and self-possessed until the proper time comes for marriage and the proper mate appears and until the proper and conventional safeguards are met. Certainly honorable, good people can remain continent and can live separate from the opposite sex when that it is necessary. And for some people, that is necessary all their lives. In such cases, certainly any man and woman can have grace to do right, to do what is right, and live right. Christians who ought not to marry can have peace and joy and victory in their lives day by day. Yet the Holy Scripture is clear that in ordinary cases, to avoid the sin of fornication and to avoid the burning of lust of unfulfilled desires, marriage is proper. It's okay. Go ahead and get hooked up with all of his rough and tough problems. I would say it's worth it. This is the reason, by the way, I got married. I got married because I needed to do so. Because I have to have it. You say, what? Have to have what? Sex. And I got married primarily to avoid committing fornication. And I am thankful to God I did get married. And to me, with all of the rough and tough problems in marriage, it was worth it. To this very day, it's worth it. I cannot imagine not being married because of this reason. Anyway, back to the text. We ought not to think of this biological urge, this sex necessity, as calling simply and only for mating. There are many secondary characteristics of this heart hunger and body hunger of sex. A man wants to hear a woman's voice. It's just in him. It's just in him, and if it's not in him, I feel very sorry for him. He wants the ministrations of her kind fingers. Go ahead, Dr. Rice. He wants to hear her laugh and her chatter. Go ahead, Dr. Rice. Dr. John R. Rice, you're a bad man. And so a woman feels the need to lean on a man and his muscles. To depend upon him, to praise him, and be praised by him. Go ahead, Dr. Rice. You're a bad man. You're old-fashioned, but you're a bad man. All of this is part of the sex urge that God has put in a man or in a woman. And may I add, this is the kind of stuff that leads to sex. It is normal and right. It is good. It is holy. There's nothing wrong with it. A man is so made that he needs a woman. A woman is so made that she needs a man. In ordinary cases, this biological urge is a reason for marriage. And if you're having that biological urge, may I encourage you to get married to the right person as soon as possible. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you so much for this wonderful and powerful and meaningful time together. And we give you all of the glory, praise, and honor for making it plain. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you and your family do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Here's how to trust Him as your Savior today, because without Jesus Christ, without salvation, you will never have a truly happy, successful, wonderful family life. He's the one who makes the difference. He's the one who made the difference in our marriage and family, and He's the only one who can make a difference, the difference in your marriage and family. That's just guaranteed. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So hell, dear friend, is bad news. Hell is not the place you need to go to, or that you should want to go to. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Saved from what? Saved from hell. All you have to do, dear friend, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world for you and me. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. If you want to be saved today, believe in your heart on Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul today. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have even broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by dishonoring my parents, by taking your holy name in vain, by lusting after people and things, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins and my transgressions. as I now believe with all of my heart, on you, Lord Jesus. I believe with all of my heart that you died for my sins, you suffered, you bled, and you died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake and to start living for you. Amen. Until next time, my beloved, God bless you and keep you.